This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
To join us, 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And we're talking about Jack Dorsey here, who has set up a crypto defense fund. And we speculated that it was largely about protecting people from Craig Wright. And as it turns out, one of the first lawsuits they intend to take on with this new Bitcoin defense fund is defending someone from Craig Wright's crazy wife. So we were sort of right about that.
Yeah.
Because from what we can see, the only threat to Bitcoin developers that has happened is Craig Wright and his crazy wife. To be fair, he's also crazy, but so is she.
Yeah.
So Craig Wright is crazy, but that's sort of a given if you ever listen to us.
He's the guy who claims to be the guy that gets the most attention for claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto. There have been more than one person that may have made that claim, but this guy gets a lot of attention because he will sue you if you don't agree with him.
I tend to think, you know, if Satoshi Nakamoto is still alive, mm-hmm. there's a decent chance he's that guy in that Brazilian prison, whose name mm-hmm. I don't even remember now. That's the most compelling story I've heard yet. But
Chris Wade agrees with that, too. He said that he looked more into it after that caller called about it, and he said he's pretty convinced now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm convinced, but if I had to make a bet on a living person who I was aware of being Satoshi Nakamoto, that would be the person.
It would make so much sense that he was in jail.
Yeah, because otherwise, you know, it raises the question of why has Satoshi never moved any of the Bitcoin? Well, either Satoshi is dead or Satoshi's in jail, or for whatever reason, Satoshi just has money and doesn't need to sell any of that Bitcoin. Who knows?
Or Satoshi is God.
Who has someone, huh?
He's God. He came into a human life form and he hasn't come back.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see. Because there's no reason to, right? He did what he came here to do. So Jack Dorsey, in addition to setting up this crypto defense fund, he's also setting up a decentralized exchange. And one thing we neglected to mention was that he changed the name of Square to Block.
Recently.
This is pretty creative.
Similar to how Facebook changed their name to Meta.
Which isn't mm-hmm. creative.
No, it's stupid. I actually have a follow-up about the metaverse that I want to get into tonight. This tech guy, I don't remember exactly who he is or what he's for, but...
Oh, I had that story, too.
Okay. The one where
somebody's attacking it.
Comparing the metaverse hype to propaganda he experienced in the Soviet Union as a child. So, we're going to get into that. But before we do, let's talk about Jack Dorsey's decentralized exchange, because I know we've had this story
talked about for quite a while. Yeah. This is interesting because it's not really a decentralized exchange. And let me explain this here, because the website, by the way, for this thing, it's not working. The only thing
that's a promising sign.
Yeah, well, it doesn't exist yet. They basically have a white paper at this point. I mean, at what stage they are in actually developing this thing, I don't know, but it must be very early if they don't even have like a splash page with a sign up your email address here to learn more. You go to their website, tbdex.io, and there's literally a 404 error that comes up. So there's nothing there. But @whitepaper.pdf or something, you can actually get the PDF. But the story from Cointelegraph.com, Jack Dorsey released a white paper. This was in November, detailing plans for Square, now Block's decentralized, quote-unquote, Bitcoin exchange, TBDEX. Unlike most decentralized...
That seems so strange to me, since they sort of function as a centralized Bitcoin exchange already.
They do.
So do they want to decentralize that aspect of their business?
No. Let me get into this.
Is it going to be unrelated to Block at all?
Block, I guess, is going to be involved. I pulled up the white paper and was looking at it during the news break there, just to kind of try to get a little bit more detailed than what they go over in this.
I'm curious, does it actually look like a white paper, or does it look like a brochure, a sales pitch?
No, it's a white paper. It's an 18-page boring, technical
that's good,
white
because
paper.
When all of these scam coins were coming out back in 2016, 2017, there were two types of white papers. There was the boring one that you would expect a white paper to be, and then there was the one that was clearly a sales brochure being disguised as a white paper. So I'm glad to hear that his is actually a white paper that is attempting to solve a problem rather than sell a product.
Yeah, this is a strange pitch because at one point it claims that this is a permissionless system, meaning that a permissionless generally means that you don't have to ask permission to join and to participate in the system.
Right.
But that seems to only be for what they're calling the participating financial institutions. So these are entities that can offer liquidity services on the upcoming so-called decentralized networks. So
like
they
banks?
That's not really clear. I mean, I presume that that would be included. It says PFIs will be identified via what are called, they keep using acronyms in here, DID, which I don't remember what that one is, and VCs, which stands for Verified Credentials. DID is a decentralized identifier. Again, I've not read the thing in full. But
and I have one more question before you get into it. Why did they give it the same? Because I can't even remember what it is right now. TD what?
TBDEX.
TBDEX. What is that? It's such
I'm
a bad name.
I'm guess it stands for the block DEX, but I'm not, I don't know.
What
I don't know what
TB?
It stands for. I'm guessing it stands for the block, but I have no idea.
Tuberculosis.
Anyway,
to be decentralized, as in not decentralized, yeah. But we plan to do it one day.
PFIs can be, but are not limited to, fintech companies. Fintech stands for financial tech, technical. Regional banks, institutional banks, large institutional banks, or other financial institutions. So just from that, just hearing that, is a turnoff to me, the fact that they're going to be involving institutions.
The ones that, you know, Bitcoin was created to destroy.
Yeah, the ones that'll shut down your account if they find out that you're using Bitcoin, those ones.
And it's only permissionless for them, so how could this be decentralized? I don't know.
It's
someone's
not
granting them permission to not need permission.
So they're not going to use a trustless model, according to Cointelegraph.com, and therefore will not feature its own governance token. Instead, it is a message protocol designed to facilitate trust relationships without relying on a federation to control access. I don't really know what all that means, but...
Well, if you have to trust something that is not going to be openly able for anybody to audit, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be open source. That's a good question, but it won't.
I don't want to have anything to do with, you know, bringing banks into the cryptocurrency space.
Yeah, just that alone is a reason enough to be turned off by this, but also, here's the real reason to be turned off. So the TBDEX also intends to include many features that make it far less decentralized than a standard decentralized exchange as we've come to know them. Like, a standard decentralized exchange, you show up, it doesn't ask you who you are. You just have an anonymous wallet that you connect to it. Usually they're on the Ethereum network. That's most of them are on the Ethereum, but there's more of them out there. Cosmos has them. Binance Smart Chain has them. So there are other alternatives out there. You show up with your anonymous wallet. It tells you connect the wallet. Then you give it to, you know, whichever wallet you want to connect, MetaMask or, you know, hardware wallets. There's usually a variety of different options. You authorize it in your wallet. They still have no idea who you are. If you're coming in on a VPN, they don't know where you are. And then you're in. You're in the exchange. You can say, okay, I have Ethereum. I want to exchange it for this other Ethereum token over here, whatever that might be, Dogecoin. Or I guess Dogecoin's not an Ethereum token, but there's probably somebody that made a Dogecoin Ethereum token. And then you do your exchanges. The exchange takes a fee from the transaction, and you go away. And then if you want to come back, you come back, and that's it.
Sounds promising. All of the decentralized exchanges that I've ever used were just for Ethereum and Ethereum tokens. I would love to see that expanded.
Yeah, there are a few more now. In fact, I think there's a lot more than a few.
So you can actually use one of these decentralized exchanges to swap Bitcoin for Bitcoin Cash or whatever.
That is being developed. It's called Thor Chain right now, and that does exist. It is out there. It's been hacked a couple of times.
Unfortunate.
But it hasn't been hacked in 6 months. So
they paid their people back.
They did make good on the hack, and they did hire some red teams to go in and audit their code and do some white hat kind of hacking on it to try to secure it even more.
Well, when we get
they're
going
to require Know Your Customer on Jack Dorsey's so-called decentralized exchange.
I'm assuming there's other reasons it's not really going to be decentralized as well.
That's the number one reason. Know Your Customer means you're not decentralized.
We're going to continue talking about Jack Dorsey's, quote, decentralized exchange. 603-283-61.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, where your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to weigh in. Again, that number 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria, Bonnie, and Ian, and we've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Well, now Intercoin has launched its investor token. That's ITR. And you can find it at xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com. It's also on Uniswap. You can find links to both of those on their website. That's intercoin.org. Buy and sell some Intercoin. Pick up some for yourself. That's the Intercoin Investor Token. And you just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. Check them out. It's intercoin.org. We've been talking about Jack Dorsey here and Bitcoin and his, quote, decentralized exchange that is going to allow banks, from what we can understand of his scheme, banks can come in and they don't have to get permission. They have a permissionless system set up for these institutions. I think they even cited banks specifically now that
yes,
I remember.
Yes, they did.
But the average person is going to have to deal with some sort of KYC. So it's
know your customer.
Yes. So it's not at all a decentralized exchange.
It's just that the banks don't need permission from Jack Dorsey's
correct
exchange. But
that's my understanding.
Won't they eventually need permission in some way from the government? Because he can't grant them that.
Well, the government gang requires that these companies be know your customer compliant, meaning that they have to ask everybody who they do business with, who they are, where they're from, what their grandma, you know, who their grandma was, what their bra size is, you know. I mean, all these personal identifying information that is so invasive.
Some of them get ridiculously invasive.
Yeah, and then even after you provided the information, if you send a transfer that's too much in their opinion, or they don't like X, Y, or Z thing about it or whatever, they'll freeze the transaction and they'll freeze your account.
Or they just don't like your answers.
Yeah. Yeah, or they'll just close your account.
It is arbitrary and asinine, and it hasn't been a problem for me in quite a long time, but it is annoying having to deal with these cryptocurrency exchanges, because they will do stuff like this. If you make repeated purchases of, I don't know, $50 from Kraken, they're going to stop you at, like, the third one and say, no, we suspect this is a duplicate transaction, so we put this on hold for the next 5 days.
For your benefit, where you're like, I wanted to buy now, and now you can't.
And their solution as well, instead, spend $50.01 and then $50.02. That way it's always unique and different. Like, or you could just let me say, yep, nope, that's on purpose. Or let my bank deal with that, because that's the bank's problem, not yours.
Yeah, my little sister was just trying to buy crypto from, I think it was Coinbase. And
Coinbase is the devil.
At first it was letting her spend like $700 a day, and then all of a sudden it was just like, no, $150. No,
wasn't it
$77
for the first day?
And yeah, I think it was just like one day that it let her spend that much money, and then it kept going down and down and down, and to the point that it was making her buy like $25 a day.
It's bizarre. I hate Coinbase, though. But let's go to the phones. We have Mac calling from Colorado. Mac, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, yes. Craig Wright, claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto. Who else has claimed to be Satoshi?
Well, plenty of people have made the claim.
There are other people, but they're just not very memorable.
I see. Who are the ones that are memorable to you guys?
Like I said, if I could remember one, I would tell you, but I don't recall.
Oh.
Do you think that Satoshi that Craig Wright is Satoshi Nakamoto?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, he's the loudest person who's making the claim, and he's got the most money, and he's willing to sue people about it. So he gets the media coverage. A lot of these people claiming to be Satoshi, they may tweet or about it or something, but they don't have, you know, CoinDesk writing article or Cointelegraph writing articles about how they're Satoshi Nakamoto or claiming to be Satoshi Nakamoto.
All right. Okay, have you heard of a name, Adam Back?
I've heard of him. He is a programmer or a CEO or something of Blockstream, which is a company.
He's a British cryptographer and cypherpunk. He is the CEO of Blockstream, which is co-founded in 2014, invested Hashcash, which is used in the Bitcoin mining process.
Yeah, Blockstream is a company, I believe, that's developing the Lightning Network, aren't they?
I wouldn't know about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's their main product that they're pushing right now.
Is your idea that this guy may be Satoshi Nakamoto?
He's definitely on the list of being likely. There is a YouTube channel, probably also on Odyssey. Have you ever heard of the YouTube channel Barely Sociable?
No.
No.
Can't say that I have.
So,
but, you know, I don't think Satoshi Nakamoto would identify the problems in Bitcoin and then take up such a terrible, clunky solution to those problems.
Right. Satoshi already had the solution to the Bitcoin network getting full. Increase the block size. I mean, originally the Bitcoin network was programmed to have no block size. And then they
added
one.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
it made sense at the time to add a block size to keep
temporarily.
The network, yes. To keep the network from being overtaken by spam, essentially. So they implemented that, but yes, it was meant to be temporary. Get rid of the block size limit, and that will fix most of Bitcoin's problems.
They implemented the block size while Satoshi was still active?
He did, yeah.
Oh, he did.
I believe he was involved in the implementation of the block size limit. But
it served a very specific function then, though. It wasn't just like, we're having too many transactions come through. Our miners aren't making enough money, which is why they continue to exist today.
Mm. I don't buy the idea that Adam Back is the person who runs Blockstream is Satoshi Nakamoto for the reason you brought up, Arya, because Satoshi wouldn't have created Lightning, I don't think. And secondly, all you have to do is look at the people who are funding Blockstream, and you find out that mega banks are funding Blockstream. Banks like AXA, which people in the United States have never heard of AXA Bank before, but if you're in Britain, you may know about AXA. It is one of the largest banks on the planet. It's based out of Belgium. And
I've never heard of it.
They're a major investor in Blockstream, as is the Digital Currency Group, which is a subgroup of other investors, including MasterCard. So I just don't buy that Satoshi would, get all cozy with the banking industry when he created Bitcoin to take them down.
Yeah, and he stated that explicitly in the early newsletters. He even cited the 2007 recession that was created and caused by banks as being one of the reasons that he decided to come up with a solution to take down that financial system.
Right. So I don't buy it.
I don't either. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Mac. I don't know who Satoshi Nakamoto is. I like to think that the guy or girl or group is still around getting some sort of enjoyment from this world-changing technology that they've created. Mm-hmm. I would love to imagine that Satoshi Nakamoto is sitting on a beach somewhere,
just laughing,
super wealthy, going, man, I changed the world, right? It would sadden me to think that Satoshi Nakamoto didn't
get to see this.
Right.
Yeah.
So I prefer to think Satoshi's alive, and if it was me and I was Satoshi Nakamoto, that's what I would be doing, is hanging on a beach somewhere, retired. I mean, he's done his work to make the world a better place.
Yep.
That's another reason I don't buy that Greg Wright is Satoshi Nakamoto is another ideological reason, beyond the fact that he has refused to prove his claims.
Right, which would be easy.
By, moving some Bitcoin in the original wallets. But the other one is that he supports governments. He's specifically spoken in favor of the government and against anarchism. And
well,
I don't buy that Satoshi would make that statement.
Greg Wright needs the government in order to sue people. So, of course, he loves the government.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Satoshi Nakamoto Bitcoin? Do you think Satoshi's sitting on a beach somewhere drinking a margarita? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Talked about domestic enemies? Rhetoric unbecoming of a president of the United States.
The Senate Minority Leader taking to the Senate floor to slam President Biden's speech in Georgia on voting rights. Biden is pushing a majority of Democrats to lift the Senate filibuster to pass two voting rights bills. McConnell also accuses Democrats of being hysterical about new election laws.
The smallest majority we've ever seen in our politics is trying to change the rules for how people get elected in every single state.
The Biden administration putting a positive spin on the record inflation number that came out earlier on Wednesday by saying that the consumer price index also showed gas and food prices are falling. You're listening to USA Radio News. As Democrats continue to discuss changes to the filibuster, Lance Pry from our USA Radio News West Coast Bureau takes a look at some of the comments we've heard in the past from Democrats.
As President Biden announced Tuesday in Atlanta, Georgia, that he and Democrats plan to do away with the filibuster rule in the Senate, we're reminded of the same Democrat leaders from back in the day. Senator Chuck Schumer.
They want to make this country into a banana republic, where if you don't get your way, you change the rules.
Senator Cory Booker.
The legislative filibuster should stay there, and I will personally resist efforts to get rid of it.
Senator Joe Biden.
It raises problems that are more damaging than the problem that exists.
You're going to throw the entire Congress into chaos and nothing will get done.
From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
All 17 people who died in Sunday's Bronx apartment building fire have now been identified, including 8 children. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, where you're invited to call in, share your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And we're talking about Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, and one of the reasons I prefer to think of Satoshi still being alive is because of the way that Bitcoin and cryptocurrency have evolved in ways that no one could have predicted. Like now there's a blockchain-based video sharing platform. And I'm sure
Odyssey.
Yes.
The library, lbry.com.
And I'm sure when Satoshi sat down to write the Bitcoin white paper, he never envisioned that being a result.
Actually, we should be clear. It's not so much a platform as it is a protocol.
That's true.
Which is more important.
Odyssey is a platform.
Odyssey is the platform. Library is the protocol. It's a media sharing protocol. So it's not just for video. It's primarily used for video.
Yeah, I clicked on one that was a picture the other day. I was like, what the heck is this?
If you want to upload, I think you can put a PDF up there. You can put an audio file up there.
You can put songs. You can put books. Yeah. You can put any file, basically, yes, that can be turned into an attachment. You can upload to Odyssey. To Library. It is primarily video because that's what people prefer to do.
Yes.
But presumably, you could also just type up an article and throw it on there.
Yeah, this picture, I was like looking up a subject. I thought I was clicking on a video about it, and it just picked up loaded a big picture, and then he had his opinions about it. It was like an art.
You can put a blog
picture.
Post up there for sure.
And that's Library. I think the library is probably the URL is probably lbry.com.
Dot com.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just
view it on Odyssey, which is their platform that utilizes the library network to make things easier. We actually stream there. You can find our channel at video.freetalklive.com.
That's right.
And there we don't actually have to worry about being censored. We can say what we want without worrying about YouTube kicking us off. Now, to be fair, we've been streaming now to YouTube continually for like 6 weeks without being suspended again. So maybe they're dialing back their oppression just a little bit.
I think it's just random based on whoever the hater is that's reporting our channel.
Well, they probably realize that if they report us, then they can't complain about us endlessly on YouTube because we're not streaming there, which means right. They have to go to Odyssey, where cryptocurrency enthusiasts and actual fans of the show
will
just eviscerate
crypto,
them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's video.freetalklive.com. We have Sarah on the line from New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yes. Have you guys ever heard of Joyce Meyer Ministries?
Yes.
No, who is that?
She's a Christian lady that my mom used to listen to. She has, like, short hair.
She's like a TV Christian
kind
of person?
Yeah, TV, but you can go to her in real life. I think she's, like, Southern.
Oh, yeah.
What about her, Sarah?
She's from St. Louis, Missouri, but one thing that I really appreciative of her ministry is that she's got rescue homes for the human trafficked girls all over the world. So that's really important to me because if people want to help these homes, you could donate to her ministry, right? And I do a lot of times. So it's actually her website is joycemeyer.org. So she's definitely non-profit. She's not about making money. It's a church. And then she'll also give you a free magazine. I get a monthly magazine about all the help that she's doing around the world. And I've seen stories about girls in Thailand, and she's got a dream center in St. Louis, and she's got one in Los Angeles.
Aren't you a communist?
Yes, Sarah, I'm curious. Why aren't governments solving these problems?
Well, I mean, they do try. The government, there's a lot of government funded. But also,
they're not doing a good enough job, so Joyce Meyer has to step in.
This says that Joyce Meyer's net worth is $9.5 million.
Okay.
God blessed her. And she's doing.
I believe that, but you're always saying capitalist people who have too much money should be forcibly put into jail or killed, so that's why I'm confused.
I don't think that God blessed her. I think that silly Christians blessed her.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know what, I'm glad she lives in a nice house. I mean, she's an example of, like, how she gives of herself. She gives to feed people and bring water to them, hospital care, and she rescues these, prostitute girls. And then she gets to, drive a nice car, live in a nice house. And,
according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Meyer has a $10 million corporate jet. Her husband has a $107,000 silver gray Mercedes sedan. They live in a $2 million home and have other houses, apparently worth another $2 million for her children. $20 million headquarters furnished with $5.7 million worth of furniture, artwork, glassware, and the latest equipment and machinery, including a $30,000 malachite round table, a $23,000 marble-topped antique commode.
Wait. Shouldn't all those things be sold and then the profits divvied up and given to the homeless people of New Mexico or something, Sarah?
Well, you know what? If I really lived in a truly communist society, I think that would happen. But we still live in a mixed economy in a capitalist America. I mean,
hold on. It's either a mixed economy or it's a capitalist economy. And I'll give it it's a mixed economy. I mean, that's economics 101.
I could wish what I want, but I have to live in the world where it is what it is. So it's a mixed economy.
You're giving this woman money, right? You said you donate to her?
Right. Yes, I do.
How do you feel about buying her custom-made toilet with the marble on it or whatever it was?
She obviously supports it.
I mean, you paid for that, Sarah. You bought this lady's toilet.
No, but she also rescues girls that are trafficked into homes
all over
Africa.
Don't you think that people who are, those people who are in the ministry positions of the world should be, I don't know, a little more humble? Or is it okay to just go jet-setting around with a $10 million jet and, you know, whatever other million-dollar spendings on lavishness?
Well, I mean, to me, I think it's okay. I think it's okay because she, you know, brings water to people, you know, free health care and feeds people all around the world. She's got orphanages. She's got...
Imagine how much more she could do if she wasn't flying around in a $10 million private jet.
I want to clarify something here. I don't think that she should be punished for this. I don't think that it should be illegal. I think, you know, if you want to support this woman, that's your choice. If you think it's fine to support her lavish lifestyle, that's her reward for doing the good things that you think she's done, then that's fine. That's your choice. To me, it's a turnoff. I think that that kind of lavish spending on the part of a minister represents someone who maybe has their priorities a little bit mistaken.
Sure. And it's very unchristian. You know, the whole mythos of Christianity is that these good deeds that she's doing here on earth, rescuing people from being sex trafficked or whatever, she's going to be rewarded for that in heaven. She's not supposed to get a reward for it here on earth.
That is so 2,000 years ago. Haven't you heard of the prosperity message?
I actually haven't. What is that?
Really, right, have you heard of the prosperity message?
She's asking you seriously about it.
No, I have not heard about
it. Oh, yeah, I have. The prosperity message is that if you give of something that you have, you actually get more back in return. That's God's math. That's God's mathematics.
In what part of the Bible did that originate?
Sarah, I don't personally disagree with what you're saying. I mean, I think there is a, like, this universal rule that says you should give in order to receive, that you shouldn't just receive. You should put it out there into the universe, and it will come back to you tenfold. However, you don't have to accept a million-dollar mansion. You know, you could just say, no, that's okay. I could live in a $200,000 house. So, yeah, I don't know if I buy the whole idea that these guys are truly selling the way they're selling it.
But Sarah, thank you so much for the call tonight. And I want to reiterate, I'm not opposed to such an idea of, you know, getting back what you put out there. I don't know if I believe that it's there or believe that it isn't there, but it's certainly not corresponding to any part of Christian doctrine. That's something Christians just made up to justify the existence of people like Joyce Meyer and Joel Osteen.
The universe didn't send her the $23,000 commode. She ordered that somewhere.
Yes, probably from Amazon. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, where you are invited to join us, weigh in with your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And it's Bonnie.
And we've been pretty vocal critics of this metaverse thing that that the media is really trotting out there and trying to sell people on. And
it's got multi-billion dollar companies pushing it.
It does, one of which is Facebook, one of the most successful media companies in the world. Heavily, I mean, they even rebranded their company in order to focus on this metaverse nonsense. And we're not alone in this. I don't think it's going to sell to the average person. I don't think the average person working at the convenience store has ever heard of this metaverse thing. And I don't think they're going to be sold on it when they hear it. But the propaganda being put out around it, because we are constantly seeing puff pieces from the media that's just praising this technology and how it's, oh my goodness, there was a wedding in the metaverse, and this opens up so many possibilities of things that we've always dreamed of and that have been going on the internet for the last 20 years, only the media didn't talk about it because it was nerds in World of Warcraft or whatever and not your average soccer mom.
If people didn't get married on World of Warcraft, I would be very shocked.
I'm sure they did. I can't think of anyone who they specifically did it, but yeah. So a tech founder born in the Soviet Union is now comparing metaverse hype to the communist propaganda that he experienced as a child.
Wow.
Phil Libin is the founder of the note-taking app Evernote and the CEO of the video conferencing company
I've used their app, Evernote.
Have you?
Yeah. It's like a little note-taking app, and it works. Yeah. It saves your notes to the cloud. That's all it does.
I would rather save mine to my device. That's always the issue I have with these note-taking things. Yeah. It's like, why can't I just create a text document on my phone that just stays on my phone? But that's a minor thing.
Nice part about the cloud is if you break your phone, then can still get back into the thing.
Yeah, I was shocked that whenever I got my into my iCloud or whatever it is account, iPhone account, it didn't save anything except my notes in my notepad.
What do you mean when the Fed stole your phone?
Yeah, and then I got a new iPhone and I tried to connect it to my iCloud account.
So they didn't even save your phone book?
Maybe my phone book.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, ideally you should have your notes saved on the device and in the cloud in order to protect it from accidental destruction.
I suppose it depends on the note, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. If it's super private, then, yeah, you don't want it in somebody else's possession.
So Phil made these comments in a podcast hosted by the tech journalist Eric Newcomer, the New York Times' Katie Benner, and Insider's Tom Doten. And it was released yesterday. Libin expressed deep skepticism of tech companies touting the metaverse and drew a comparison with his experience growing up in Leningrad, Russia. I went to first grade in the Soviet Union, he said. I was subjected to a lot of Soviet propaganda, and I was told as a little kid repeatedly, communism doesn't exist yet. We haven't built communism yet. We're building towards communism, but it's not communism yet.
We just need to kill a few more people.
What you see around you, this horrible, horrible place, isn't communism. We're building towards it. It's going to be great when it gets here.
Wow.
So I really see his point here because that's pretty much what they are saying about the metaverse. And if you actually look into the technology, it's pretty clear that they're building towards something, but they're in the early, early stages of it. And he goes on, you know, you can smell a bad idea before it's fully built. So I don't want to hear, oh, yeah, the metaverse doesn't exist yet. No, no, no. All this stuff, all this stupid, useless, crappy stuff that exists right now, that's not the metaverse. The metaverse is coming. It's coming. Which is a fair point because they're not making the claim that Decentraland or whatever Facebook's is called because I don't remember
Horizon
now.
Worlds.
Yes. Is the metaverse. They're saying, oh, this is proof that the metaverse is coming.
I think they're claiming, Facebook at the very least, is claiming that that is their metaverse app. That's their first one, so there's more coming. But they
That's
want
almost people. Worse.
That's their first metaverse app. That's their proof of concept. Look, you can do things. You can build things. You can make a little world thing. I think somebody's got like a mini golf game, and somebody else has a laser tag game
but
in there.
I still think it is what he's saying if they're saying, oh, but it's going to get better.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course it's going to get better. I mean, that's inevitable. Technology is going to improve. The tech is going to get better. The virtual reality headsets are going to be better in the future. They're going to be wireless at some
point.
Yeah,
that's a given.
They're going to get lighter, and the software is going to get better. There's no doubt about it. The question is that where people are going to want to spend their time? And that's what they're constantly trying to hound you into believing.
Yes,
right
that is going to be great. Everyone's going to love it, and it's going to be mass adopted, and I don't see it. The word metaverse.
I hope you're right, Aria. I really do. Because if it is mass adopted, that's a scary world. People that are even more disconnected from one another than they have ever been to me.
I think Facebook and these other companies are deluded in thinking that it's going to be mass adopted. But the average person, I genuinely believe, if you show them this technology and put on one of these headsets and let them play around in Decentraland or Horizon Worlds or whatever, they're going to go,
this is
garbage. This yeah, this is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, what's the average amount of time that a totally like somebody who's never been in VR before would keep that headset on to be in Horizon Worlds?
And what I don't understand is what is different about the metaverse and all the VR games that have existed already?
Well, the VR games were better. They looked better, and they were more fun to be in.
And even just things people have described to me, because I've never played one, have sounded cooler, like Aria going underground, or, I don't know, they do ones where I can't.
There are some really cool VR games out there.
Yeah, like, if you want to play a game where you shoot other people, there's a bunch of way better ones than I'm sure of what you're going to get in Facebook's little program.
What is the difference between the metaverse and just VR games?
There isn't one, except the Facebook version looks and plays terribly.
I'll answer
they
that.
They are video games, as far as I can tell. So it's bad.
The answer to that question, Bonnie, from what we've read, is they're selling the metaverse idea. The metaverse is, at this point, a concept that they're trying to shoehorn people into buying that doesn't truly exist in the way that it's been envisioned, right? Like, there are VR applications. There's a variety of them. They're not all games. There's some other there's one where you can paint.
Or you can go to conferences, apparently, in VR.
Horizon Worlds has that. They have a conference room where you can sit in a conference room instead of being in a Zoom call. You can sit in a room with torsos, floating torsos, and have an actual, quote-unquote meeting. So they're trying to basically take VR outside of the realm of gaming and mass market that in a way that is trying to pitch the idea of, oh, this will be your life. you will live in this world, and it will be better. So that's the pitch behind the metaverse. It isn't just that you can go and play laser tag, or shoot somebody, or play mini golf. It's that you get to socialize. You'll get to have your work meetings. You won't have to go to work. You'll be in the virtual reality metaverse. Need to go shopping? Just pull up the Walmart app, and you can just grab virtual items off the shelf. And you'll never have to leave your house. It'll all be delivered to you, especially for those of you that are afraid of leaving your house because you believe COVID is going to infect you and you might get sick and die or something. So they're pushing this at the right time, right? Because there's a tremendous wave of fear among people.
I don't think they are, because the technology doesn't seem to be there.
True. That's true, but they're starting the push now. And it happens to coincide with a time where people are now more than ever working from home, and they're now more than ever irrationally afraid of going outside in a lot of cases. So there is a market for this, but I do agree with you, Aria, that it's certainly not, I don't think it's as big as they think that it's going to be, and I certainly hope it's not as big as they think it's going to be.
Well, what they're portraying it as reminds me of Ready Player One, where there's this massive lobby, that's the metaverse, and it contains all of these other little worlds. If you want to go, play laser tag or the first-person shooter on the ice planet, you can do that, or if you want to drive a race car, you can do that. Those are all just different games within the metaverse, or different things you can do within the metaverse, right? That's what they're sort of trying to paint the metaverse as being. But your average person has already experienced VR to some extent through...
Have they?
The average person I could think of, yeah.
What percentage of people have actually put on a VR helmet?
I never have.
I don't think it's that high.
I think it probably is, because VR was really popular during their nephew or someone had a VR headset, so they tried it out and they played one of these games, or a friend of theirs had one, so they tried it out. And I think the average person is going to see what Facebook has put forward, and they're going to immediately see that this technology is 15, 20 years out of date.
I think the issue with it getting mainstream is you have to have a whole room to play VR in, where you can move your arms around and stuff. Like, we don't have that in this house.
We do kind of now, but you literally have to have an entire
large space. I'm putting a couch in there.
Cleared out. According to a survey in 2021, 23% of Americans have tried a VR or AR headset.
What was the percentage?
What they are.
AR is 23%.
Oh, augmented reality.
Augmented reality. So,
yeah, I would have assumed it was higher than that.
Of that group, 31% of the 23% own a headset. The rest of them have tried one.
603-283-6160 if you want to join us. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.